Okay, you're on.
Oh, you want to use that one? Should I put this one on also?
You don't need both of them. It's the same thing.
So let's get this back there. So you're going to do one.
Yeah.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you all very much for joining us tonight for this greatly anticipated program. We on the Adult Education Committee of B'nai Ashurin are constantly seeking speakers and topics that will be thought-provoking and inspiring. In particular, we try to correlate the messages of our lectures with the Jewish calendar to shed light and foster deeper connection with the particular time of year. For this lecture, we have the added zechut of partnering with the B'nai Ashurin-based Medrash Committee. When we learned of the opportunity to host the one and only Rebbetzin Shani Tarragon at our shul, both committees felt it a special occasion to bring this program to you together. On a personal note, I still have very vivid and fond memories of studying Tanakh with Rebbetzin Shani Tarragon during my year in Israel and spending Shabbat at her home. I remember sitting in her living room in Alon Shvut on Shabbat afternoon in the company of many students eager to learn Torah from her, while she also tended to her children who came into the room to be near her at the same time. She had this marvelous way of embracing her children while simultaneously remaining completely engrossed in her teaching. Today, many years later, as a mom, I appreciate not only the precise Tanakh study skills and meaningful content that I learned from Shani, but also her demonstration of a delicate balancing act that I greatly admire. Shani Tarragon is the educational director of Matan Bellows Eshkolot Tanakh Teachers Professional Development Program and Mizrahi MTVA Lapidot Teachers of Torah Shev Alpeh. Shani has directed, taught, and continues to teach, lead Tanakh tours, and coordinate programs in numerous seminaries and adult education programs in Israel and worldwide. Shani serves on the advisory committee for the World Mizrahi Shalhevet Program for Shlichim and lectures on topics of Tanakh, Jewish education, Jewish law, and women's health. Together with her husband, Reuven, she serves as Educational Director for World Mizrahi and as Rosh Beit Midrash for the Beit Midrash program in Camp Mosheva, Pennsylvania during the summer. Shani lives with her family in Alon Shvut, Gush Etzion. The timely lecture topic for tonight is Pesach Sheni, FOMO in POMO Times. Please join me in warmly welcoming Rebbetzin Shani Tarragon.
Wow. When opens, as we know, Chazal tell us, v'chvod ha'chsanya. And I just want to thank Aviva and the entire B'nai Yeshurin committee, the Beis Medrash committee, for not only this warm welcome, but as a mechanechet and as a mother, one always wonders the effects, the short-term and the long-term, that one's teaching and certainly one's mothering has on the future generation. And that was the greatest tribute. Aviva, thank you. And it is also a tremendous privilege, pleasure, honor, zchuta to be here this evening. And I just want to personally thank Danny Sachs for putting this together and for everyone to come for coming out on a Sunday night. On this, I'm going to say, very special occasion, because albeit we learned about Pesach over Parshat HaMoadim this past Shabbat, it is really wonderful to celebrate Pesach Sheni, or one can argue 2 days after, with all of you, with so many, both as students of years ago and present and Be'ezrat Hashem for many years to come, but particularly at this date. Many of you are probably wondering, Shani, you're a few days late for Pesach Sheni, but in fact, today we're going to see is the anniversary of perhaps one of the most special occasions in Jewish history. So just to wait a few more minutes as we try to understand what is so timely, in fact, about this week, about the theme of Pesach Sheni, so much so that I'm sure for many of you, especially because it came out on an Erev Shabbos, perhaps Pesach Sheni went a little unnoticed this year, so much so that I know that especially in Chutz La'aretz, there are certain communities, albeit the minhag is not to say Tachanun Ana Shabbat. I heard that Rav Soloveitchik actually said, no, it's okay, say Tachanun. Pesach Sheni. How many of you, do you mind if I ask, actually had matzah? Did you take the time out? Wow, kol hakavod. The minhag for those who did raise their hands to have matzah on Pesach Sheni. Other than that, we're wondering really what is so significant about this date. So we're going to try to understand it through appreciating how the messages that are going to be reflected and broadcast throughout the holiday, the celebration, the commemoration of Pesach Sheni, perhaps is extremely timely, and not just for our calendarical season, but really for the time period in which we live. We live, as we know, in postmodern times, and as I look around at all the different generations here, it really is remarkable to reflect upon the transition from the time period in which many of us were brought up, what we called modern. We called the 80s, the 90s, do you remember that? We lived in modern times. And we look at our children, we look at our students, and we recognize the challenges that they have in postmodern times. The irony is that this original term, which is now not only expressive of the basic zeitgeist, the spirit of the times, but certainly of the cultural trajectory of our times, actually began as an assessment of art. In other words, in order to portray different periods of artwork, we have modern art, and now we have postmodern art. And what postmodern art basically reflected was the ability of an artist to incorporate art in whichever manner he or she desired. So you can hang a banana on a wall, and now it's going to be worth $10,000 because that is considered a work of art. In other words, postmodern, as you see, was reflective or is reflective of a philosophy wherein there are multiple truths. And if there are multiple truths, then there's no such thing as one's own truth. In other words, everything is extremely subjective. And therefore, you can have simultaneous ideas, philosophies, beliefs. You can have simultaneous designs, expressions of creativity. You can have different works of architecture, beautiful narratives, and each one in postmodern times has its own value because you have your subjective opinion, and that opinion is no longer just a point of view or a perspective. Today it's actually considered a truth. And what does this have to do then with the concept of FOMO? Firstly, do you mind if I ask, I'm going to share with you a story in just a moment. How many of you, upon seeing the sign, upon seeing the advertisement for this year, and saw FOMO, right? Anyone age 50 above here knew what FOMO was? Okay, that makes me feel so much better. Excellent. Thank you. Because I can say 22 years ago, is when I was first exposed to this terminology of FOMO, keeping in mind that we didn't have all these cell phone acronyms, right, in our vernacular then. And I had a student as the Rosh Beit Midrash and Midrashet Lindenbaum who came to me one Thursday night and literally holding her stomach tight, she said, Shani, I don't know what to do. I'm experiencing terrible FOMO. So as a very caring individual, I'm thinking there must be some disease that I'm familiar with. Maybe there's a parasite that I have not really figured out. And I said, instead of recognizing that I didn't know right away, so I said, I'm going to figure this out through the conversation. I said, can you describe your symptoms to me? So she explained to me that Thursday nights in particular is when the FOMO is the worst, because she'll be sitting in the Beit Midrash and she'll have terrible FOMO. And once again, she's holding herself. She said, Johnny, it's terrible. As I'm thinking about all my friends who are getting together in restaurants. So I'm thinking, okay, it must be some type of food that's not served in a restaurant. And then she said, but when I am with my friends, then I have FOMO that I'm not in the Beit Midrash. So at this point, I'm just very confused. I said, I'm so sorry. I remember her name was Shoshana. Shoshana, please, just tell me what this FOMO virus is. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. It's the fear of missing out. That when I'm in the Beit Midrash, I'm afraid that I'm missing out on the social component of all my friends who are hanging out who knows where together. But when I'm with them, I recognize that I should really be in the Beit Midrash. And in today's time period, in postmodern times, when, as we know, we're not only exposed to numerous events that are going on simultaneously, because we just open up our phones, and within the span of about 10 seconds, we hear about what's going on globally. And we know what's taking place right now across the earth, and we're wondering, well, maybe we should be there. Maybe on Yom HaTzmud, I should be at this Chagiga across town. Or maybe I should really be perhaps at the Mizrahi Congress all the way in Israel. Or maybe I should go and I should perform outreach in the Southern Hemisphere. And as a result, when there aren't really such strong values, such strong messages, FOMO is going to be compounded even more in postmodern times. And the question is, how do we address this? How do we address this tension? How do we address the dialectic? How do we address even the confusion of not only where we should be, but what we should be feeling that we're missing out on? Does it mean then that any event and any type of idea that is thrown out to society, we should feel a responsibility to pursue, especially as knowledgeable Jews and Jewesses? Does this mean that when something is going on in one institution, in one shul, do we have to be looking over our shoulder wondering, maybe we should copycat that because there's value in what they're doing as well? And as a result, we have to, as educators, as parents, as Jewish leaders, we really have to hone in on the Jewish value of FOMO. What are we really trying to instill in our children that they should feel that FOMO sickness over, that they should feel they're missing out on? So if they're not at this activity, and they're not part of this organization, and they're not helping out in that chesed, on one hand, we would argue, that's wonderful FOMO. On the other hand, how far-reaching should this be? And to that, we find, the answer is going to be provided in the Torah itself through the holiday of Pesach Sheni. Let's get started by seeing the context, as we generally do, and I apologize for those who don't have the Makarot before them, but not to worry, I won't skip a word, as we take a look at the context of the introduction of Pesach Sheni, which we're going to see is in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses the laws of Pesach, not just, as we know, in Sefer Vayikra, Parshat Emor, not only right after Yetziat Mitzrayim, but particularly on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, at the onset of the second year since Yetziat Mitzrayim. So let's just remember what had happened from the time of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Am Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they sacrificed the Karban Pesach, they performed Brit Milah. Next thing we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to explain to Am Yisrael the laws of Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, of Pidyon Bechor. Moshe Rabbeinu understands, wait a second, they're not really going to appreciate how significant it is to instill the future of remembrance of Yetziat Mitzrayim and Makat Bechorot, unless I also remind them of how they were saved from Makat Bechorot. So Moshe realizes now's the time to teach them not only about Karban Pesach that they just performed, but what Hashem had instructed him at the beginning of Perek Yudbet, namely Chag HaMatzot, the seven-day holiday that's going to accompany the Karban Pesach that will be performed for generations to come. So Moshe teaches them, this is the Avodah that you're going to be performing, together with a seven-day matzah eating festival called Chag HaMatzot, and you're going to begin to observe these two holidays simultaneously, Vayakitavo el Haaretz, from the moment that you enter Eretz Yisrael. Now please keep in mind that both from the perspective of Moshe Rabbeinu and certainly Am Yisrael, albeit we're counting the 7 weeks from Yetziat Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, and Am Yisrael know, as part of the trajectory of the Jewish people, V'hotiti v'yitzalti v'ga'alti, what's the next step? V'lakachti etchem li la'am. They know that there's going to be some religious covenant. They're awaiting Ma'amad Har Sinai. And what was the plan after the giving of the Torah? The plan was, then, Ve'veiti etchem al ha'aretz asher nishbati l'avotechem, Eretz Avat Chalav Udvash. Then we're going to make our way to Eretz Yisrael. And sure enough, when we open up Sefer Devarim, we realize that from Har Sinai, anyone remember, how far were we away from Eretz Yisrael? Only? Close. It took the Meraglim 3 days from Kadesh Barnea, which was farther north than Har Sinai. We were 11 days away. We were so close. And we're thinking, yet, and so far, religiously, so far, psychologically. 11 days away from Eretz Yisrael. No one had a Hava Mina that by next Pesach, of course, where will we all be? L'shana Haba? We'd be in Yerushalayim, we'd be in Haifa, we'd be in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, now you know next year how you're going to perform Karban Pesach. It's going to be together with the 7-day Matzah Eating Festival. You're going to come to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to appreciate the agricultural significance of the land. And this is going to be the holiday that will be kept for a time yonder. Fast forward, and we know that a year later, where are Am Yisrael still present? They're still in the Midbar, and exactly the same place, by Har Sinai. And as we know, unfortunately, not only are they going to be there the next year, they're going to be there for the next 39 years. And the question is, obviously, what happened? We know that not only was there a temporary delay, they're waiting 40 days for Moshe Rabbeinu, but then the notorious sin of Egel HaZahav, followed then by an entire time period, a transition of Kapara, of building the Mishkan. So now we're ready. It's Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the next year, and let's take a look and see what's going on. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, our anniversary date from Shmot Perek Yud Bet, literally the birth date of Am Yisrael. What happens on that date? So whoever's thinking that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is always a very hectic time in the Jewish calendar, I'm always calmed down by remembering this anniversary date of Am Yisrael. Poor Moshe Rabbeinu, what he had to deal with at that second anniversary of Yetziat Mitzrayim on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimor, B'yom HaChodesh HaRishon B'chad LaChodesh Takim Et Mishkan Ohel Mo'ed. The very end of Sefer Shmot describes the beginning of the consecration of the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to inaugurate the Mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And albeit Rashi explains this is at the end of 7 days of Miluim, Ibn Ezra and Ramban explain this is the beginning of the inaugural ceremonies of Shivat Yemei HaMiluim that will climax with Yom HaShmini on Chet Nisan. But no matter how you want to look at Rosh Chodesh Nisan, very, very hectic. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be overseeing everything that's going on. He's going to be lighting the menorah on this day. He's going to begin to bring the first korbanot on the mizbeach. He puts the lechem hapanim on the shulchan. Very, very busy. He has to stay very focused on all of these activities. We turn the page and we realize, wait a second, at that very same time, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Vayikra Perek Chet, we know the end of Parshat Tzav leading to the beginning of Yom HaShmini, that it's not just Moshe who is very busy consecrating the Mishkan on that day, but rather the Kohanim. This is going to be the time where the Kohanim are going to be apprenticed by Moshe Rabbeinu, and they have to bring their own set of Karbanot. They're preparing for their own promotion. Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol, Nadav Avihu, Elazar v'Itamar have to get used to this sacrificial worship as well. During the same time period, we hear the Leviim are going to be brought in. A lot's going on. Moshe's inaugurating the Mishkan for Hashem. The Kohanim are inaugurating the Mizbeach for the Kohanim, and just in case the scene is not busy enough, we find that a third station has to come in. In other words, Sefer Bamidbar, we hear a third perspective. So NBC is covering the Moshe story, and CBS is covering the Kohanim story, and I'm not sure I want to invite CNN, but someone else, again, Fox News perhaps, ABC, is covering now Bamidbar Perek Zayin, is covering the Parshat Noso story, is going to cover how the Nisim at the same time, they're also there. They're bringing their Karbanot. They're going to be 12 days of consecration of the Nisim representing Am Yisrael. And at this very same time, we continue in Bamidbar Perek Chet, and we hear that this is when the Leviim are chosen. Kachet HaLeviim, mitoch b'nei Yisrael, me'eit b'nei Yisrael, mitoch b'nei Yisrael. Five times over, we hear of the role of the Kohanim, particularly at the time that the Nisim representing the people are now going to inaugurate the Mizbeach. The people are going to be part of this Mishkan as well. For as opposed to pagan temples, where only the Kohanim, the priests, are going to be the ones involved, Sefer Bamidbar introduces the component of the Machaneh, of the everyman. Every single person is going to be represented in the Mishkan. Everyone can bring a karban. And therefore, we need not only the tribal leaders, we need the Leviim who are going to serve as the intermediaries between Am Yisrael and the Kohanim. While the Kohanim are also busy, as we said, because they're going to serve as the intermediaries between Hashem and Am Yisrael. Very, very busy day, this Rosh Chodesh Nisan. In the midst of all this busyness, we take a look at Bamidbar Perek Tet. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe min Midbar Sinai bashana hashinit l'teitam mi'eret Mitzrayim b'chodesh harishon lemor. Bamidbar introduces another event is going on amidst everything. Anna, the Midrash even tells us, imagine the scene. Moshe's there, the Kohanim there, the Nesiim are there. Who do you think, by the way, is the happiest person on this date? Moshe. He's definitely excited. Aharon, Rashi tells us that Aharon was so nervous, Moshe has to tell him, Krav el HaMizbeach, today's the day where he'll finally be able to see whether or not he's atoned for his participation in the sin of the golden calf. And therefore, perhaps really the most excited one is his wife, Elisheva Bat Aminadav. She has a front row seat. Chazal say she watches her brother-in-law being promoted to the CEO of the Mishkan. She sees her husband being promoted as the Kohen Gadol. Her sons, Nadav Aviyu, Elazar v'Itamar, are going to be the Kohanim. And just to incorporate Sefer Bamidbar, her own brother, Nachshon ben Aminadav, is the first of the Nesiim to offer the Karbanot representing the people. So amidst all this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, okay, Moshe, one more event for you to think about just in case things aren't hectic enough. Here, Hashem comes and says, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael et ha-Pesach b'moado. Just remember that in 14 days from now, it's Pesach time, and it's time for Am Yisrael to bring the Karban Pesach. Bar ba'asar yom b'chodesh hazeh b'in harbayim tasu oto b'moado. Kokol chokotav ukochol mishpatav tasu oto. V'deber Moshe b'nei Yisrael lasot ha-Pesach. I can imagine Moshe has to interrupt all the activities of the consecration of the Mishkan and say, time out. Am Yisrael, public service announcement. Again, there was no WhatsApp then. He had to tell them all that. Just remember, 14 days from now, what are you all going to do? You're going to bring your Karban Pesach. And the Ramban asked this very obvious question. Number one, why now? Why on Rosh Chodesh Nisan did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to come to Moshe Rabbeinu? What would have been a little more convenient? Just wait 7 days, the days of the Miluim. Maybe wait till after Vayera Kvot Hashem. Wait till after Yom HaShmini. You still have, at that point, another 6 days, plenty of time to prepare the Karban Pesach. And why make things hectic? Why come on Rosh Chodesh Nisan in the midst of everything else that's occurring at this point? And then he says, wait a second, another question. Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu in Shmo Perek Yigimel, didn't he already command Am Yisrael for the future that they're going to have to bring a Karban Pesach? Don't they know that it's a year later and Pesach is coming up? They're not going to forget this from their calendars. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to interject at this point with a mitzvah that apparently is already known? And the Ramban begins to answer by saying, first and foremost, take a look at the date, he says. It's true, this is the date of the Chanukat HaMizbeach of Moshe, of the Kohanim, and the beginning of bringing the Karbanot of the Nisiim. He says the Nisiim started on Aleph Nisan, even though, according to some Parshanim, he says maybe they started on Chet and overlapped with Chag HaPesach. He says most Parshanim understand that the Nisiim are going to be bringing their Karbanot for 12 days. Excellent. And then we have a day off, Yud Gimel Nisan, and then you have Karban Pesach time. You'll bring the sacrifice of the Pesach on Yud Dalid. Why, again, he says, it's so significant that it should come, the tzivoy, the commandment of Echad B'Nisan. Why can Hashem have come to Moshe a little bit before or a little bit after? V'achar kach shav l'haskir asara, shehizkir otam, shelo yishkochu mitzvat ha-Pesach. So significant that they should not forget the mitzvah of the Pesach. The Aldad Rabotenu, but he says what makes this even stranger is lo nahaga b'midbar ela b'shana zo bilvad. He says, wait a second. When we continue throughout the years of the Midbar, we recognize that they don't bring the Karban Pesach again. And Rashi explains because by then there are some children who don't have a Brit Milah, albeit some Parshanim disagree. The Ramban tries to understand what is so significant about this year's Karban Pesach. He says, in the future, Am Yisrael cannot fulfill Karban Pesach because what was it in fact that Moshe had commanded? For the future years, how are they going to celebrate Karban Pesach? Not as an independent holiday, but as a seven-day matzah eating festival. But wait a second, the seven-day matzah eating festival, they can only fulfill once there in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, he says, now we understand, it's a year later. And even though this is not what they imagined, certainly not what they anticipated, they're not in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, what are they wondering? Maybe we're not supposed to fulfill the Karban Pesach. Maybe we have to wait until we enter Eretz Yisrael. That in fact, it really is a mitzvah tzuya ba'aret, which is why Chazal, after Chorban Bayit Sheni, had to establish special takano to make sure that we would continue to observe these holidays that are really connected to the land of Israel. And therefore, the Ramban explains it's true. In the Midbar, they didn't have to keep Karban Pesach, which is why Hashem had to come and say, but this year you will. Because this year is the first year anniversary. And as many of you know, you do not forget the first year anniversary. The second and the third perhaps is okay, but not the first. The first is the most important. The first, as sometimes as a mother I ask myself, why do we even celebrate our children's first year birthdays? According to most psychologists, do children even remember the events of their first year? No. So it's not for the child. Who is it for? It's for us. It's for us to remember, wow, a year ago we didn't have this child in our lives. A year ago we went through such pain to bring this child into this world. A year ago we experienced the miraculous nature of new life in our family. The first year is the most important. The first year, if you remember perhaps your own respective anniversaries, the first year is probably the only year, or I can say so myself, that we watched our wedding video. And the first year is when, in the secular world, many people eat the leftovers of their wedding cake, which obviously Jewish families cannot do because of Pesach. Because that first year really is the most significant. It's the one that's not only going to highlight, but is going to be the one that is going to validate, commemorate, is going to ensure that the memories of the previous year become molded, become corroborated within our consciousness. The Ramban says this beautifully. Why is it so significant to celebrate Pesach of that year? That there should be some gap, some rift between the experience and the memory. That they have to make sure that the parents remember exactly what happened the year before so that there isn't any type of gap with what they're going to tell their children. And this way, b'nehem l'b'nehem, uv'nehem l'dor acharon. And therefore, it's significant this year, Hashem says, remember the events of the previous year, even if you're not going to celebrate the seven-day matzah eating festival until you come into Eretz Yisrael, you must remember this day. And now we understand why Hashem says, I want you to remember this day. And when do I want you to start remembering this day? Don't wait till Yudal and Nisan. Yes, Moshe, I know how hectic it is. But I'm going to interrupt the regularly scheduled program to ensure that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan you hear about this. Because if you remember a year ago, when did Am Yisrael first hear about the commandment to bring a Karban Pesach? On Rosh Chodesh Nisan. HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshem Rishonu L'Chadshei HaShanah. Hashem said, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that was our national birthday. That was the day when we were given the very first mitzvah. And what was that mitzvah? It was the transformation of time. Hashem said, no longer are you going to keep a solar calendar. Now you're going to keep a lunar calendar. And what did that actually mean? That meant that if I wanted to meet you for lunch tomorrow, what would I say? In Egyptian culture, I would say, when the sun is about here, right, what we would consider about 1 p.m. Gana, that's where I'll meet you by Gana Anna at the cafe. That's how the solar calendar would work. But wait a second. What if I wanted to meet you in a week from now? How would I say that? When the sun set seven times, and then the sun is slightly leaning towards the west, that's when I'm going to meet you for lunch. What if I want to meet you in a month from now? How would I have said that? When the sun sets? 30, maybe Gehenna, I may not end up meeting you for lunch. Gehenna 29 or 30 times. And what if I want to meet you in 3 months' time? Then I would say, I wouldn't even say 90 settings of the sun. I would say, I'll meet you at the next equinox or the next solstice, because the solar calendar provided for agricultural seasons. Hashem says, that's not how you're going to keep time anymore. Now you're going to keep time based on the chodesh, based on hitchatshut, on the renewal, not of the sun, but the constant waxing and waning of the moon. And you're going to count 10 of these days from this month, HaChodesh HaRishon. And on that 10th day, you're going to take the Paschal lamb. And then 4 days later, you're going to slaughter it. And on that night, you're going to barbecue it, and you're going to eat it, and you're going to finish it. And through that, you're going to identify with the covenant of Bein HaPtarim of the past, and Hashem will save you from Makat B'chorot. The Ramban explains, therefore Hashem came amidst all the consecration of the Mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan in order for us to recognize that this is what Hashem wants us to remember. He wants us to remember our national birthday. He wants us to remember the beginning of time. He wants us to remember the very first mitzvah. And therefore, Vayaki Tavo al Haaretz, even though we're not yet in Eretz Yisrael, lomar she'ei mitzvah zo noheget b'chutz la'aretz lidorot. It's true. Pesach is no longer relevant in chutz la'aretz. Achshav tziva she'yinhag b'amidbar. But the first year is the most significant. And Hashem, therefore, is going to command it the same way that he commanded it exactly a year earlier. So let's take a look and see what happens as Am Yisrael are now going to transform an event into a living memory. Now they're going to take their history and transform it into an actual story. Now they're going to teach Am Yisrael what it means for the future to identify as a nation. Vayasu et haPesach baRishon baArbasar yom lachodesh ben harbayim b'midbar Sinai kochal asher tziva Hashem ben Moshe kein asu b'nei Yisrael. Beautiful. Am Yisrael obeyed the commandments of Hashem. Vayhi anashim asher hayu tmeyim lenefesh adam. But by now, Am Yisrael, they have a Mishkan. They've been learning the laws of Tumah and Tara, of Parshiyot Shmini, Tazria, Mitzora. They know these laws already. And at the previous year, they didn't really have to worry about laws of Tum'ah, defilement. They didn't even know that concept. Now, there are people who are Tamei LaNefesh Adam, people who are Tamei LaMet, V'lo Yachlu LaSot HaPesach BaYom Ahu. And they know that therefore they can't go to the Mishkan 14 days from now. They know that they can't come and sacrifice the Karban Pesach. And what do we call that? HaOsek B'mitzvah. They're now going to be involved in the mitzvah of purifying themselves. They're now in a state that precludes them from bringing the Karban Pesach. What's their halachic status? Pater min ha-mitzvah. They're pater. They're exempt. What should they tell themselves? We're so lucky. We don't have to sacrifice. Exactly. We don't have to prepare for Pesach. We don't have to sacrifice one of our precious flock. And yet, instead, they come before Moshe Rabbeinu and before Aharon, whom we haven't seen in a little while. Bayom Ahu, Bayomru Hanashim Haema Elav, Anachnu Tmeyim LeNefesh Adam. Moshe, you just told us about Karban Pesach. Aaron, you're the Kohen. You know these laws of Tumah and Tahara. Lahorot LeBnei Yisrael, these laws. Lama Nigara. Here we have it. The first FOMO in history. They literally use this terminology. Lama Nigara means literally, why shall we miss out? Why should we miss out? Now let's look carefully. What are they so afraid of missing out on? Lama Nigara, Levilti Hakriv et Korban Hashem b'moado. At first glance, it seems that what are they afraid of missing out on? We're not going to be part of the Karban Pesach sacrifice. We're not going to get a lamb chop. We're missing out on a great barbecue. But no, that's not what they say. Three more words in the Pasuk. Betoch b'nei Yisrael. We have terrible FOMO, Moshe. Because this is the sacrifice that identifies us nationally. This is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach us by coming to us on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This is our national birthday. And we celebrate it 14 days later by bringing a Karban Pesach that reminds us of what makes us so unique. So now Moshe Rabbeinu, now we have an opportunity for the very first year to solidify and qualify ourselves as part of Am Yisrael. We have FOMO, we're Tamei LaNefesh, we're not going to be part of Am Yisrael, we're not going to celebrate the national holiday. In today's time, we would probably say, you mean all of Am Yisrael is celebrating 75 years of Medinat Yisrael and we're in quarantine and we can't go to the Yom HaTzma'ut Chagiga? Then everyone's going to think that I'm an anti-Zionist. Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to be B'toch B'nei Yisrael. And really, Moshe Rabbeinu should have explained to them, but your putter, no, really, it's okay. But he understands he can't explain that to them. Because how do you explain to someone who really is part of Am Yisrael that they can't celebrate in the ceremony that demonstrates that they're part of B'nai Yisrael? So Moshe says, you know, that's an excellent point. Let me bring this before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomar Leah Moshe, Amdu Veshma Mayitva Hashem Lachem, Vayitva Hashem Moshe Lemor, Dabrel B'nai Yisrael Lemor. Ish, ish, ki yetamei lanefesh. They're right. If a person is precluded from bringing the Karban Pesach because of impurity, or in the future, he tries to make his way to bring the Karban Pesach to Yerushalayim, but he doesn't make it, he's baderech rechoka lechem o ledorotechem, nasa pesach lahashem. He still has to bring the Karban Pesach. No one is exempt from this national identity. Bachodesh hasheni, barba asar yom bein harbayim yasuoto, amatzot morim yochluhu. Exactly a month later, on Yud Dalid Bein Ha'arbayim, they'll bring the Karban Pesach with exactly the same way, with the matzot and the maror. Okay, they can actually have a bagel also if they want. They can bring chametz, but lo yashiru mimenu ad boker. Just like the laws of Karban Pesach, no notar, etzem lo yishbru bo, kakol chukata pesach yasu oto. But the person who's tahor has no excuse, has to participate at the right time. But everyone, if there's a ger who's living amongst you, he wants to identify with Am Yisrael. The true identifying factor is whether or not he's going to bring the Karban Pesach. Anyone who has a sense of national identity, of this Jewish identity, must bring the Karban Pesach. So Chazal wonder, who are these people? Who are the people who could have just literally escaped behind the curtain and said, we're Tamei Lamet, so it's okay, we don't have to sacrifice this Karban Pesach. It's okay, we don't have to go to the Yom HaTzmaut Chagiga. We don't have to associate with ourselves nationally. Who are these people? Who are the ones then who get up before Moshe Rabbeinu and say, we have FOMO, we have a terrible fear of missing out B'toch B'nai Yisrael and being part of Am Yisrael? Who would be such people who are so nationally oriented? Chazal Masechet Sukkah Daf Chafhei asked this. So why are they so adamant in participating in a Pesach? Otam ha'anashim mihayu. Who could be these people? Who are the people who insist not just on eating blue and white cupcakes on Yom HaTzmaut? Who are the people who insist on showing up? Who are the people who cannot tolerate the fact that they would not be identified together with Am Yisrael? Opinion number one, Rabbi Yosef Haglili says, Nosei Arono Shel Yosef. They must have been the ones who are Tamei Lamet because they're attending to Yosef's bones. Who would do that? Who are the ones who attend to Yosef's bones? Let's remember what Yosef's bones stand for. Remember we left Mitzrayim? The Torah then says, Vahi b'shalach paro et ha'am alo necham elokim derech eretz plishtim. Oh, by the way, on the way out of Mitzrayim, Vayikach Moshe et atzmot Yosef. Almost as if the Torah says, oh, as an afterthought. Moshe took the bones of Yosef imo. Ki hashpeya hishpiyat b'nei Yisrael emor k'pakod yivkod elokim etchem v'alitem et atzmotai mize etchem. What do the bones of Yosef symbolize? The bones of Yosef symbolize that even at the beginning of the years of Galut, when Yosef recognizes that Am Yisrael are going to be entrenched within Egyptian culture for many years to come, he says, right now it may be that it looks like I'm in charge in Chutz La'aretz, but I'm telling you that you're the ones who have a stronger connection to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm going to need you. And right now, we're identified within the Egyptian culture, but we know Kipakod yivkod alokim etchem. He tells them that message of Geula. One day we're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and I want to be part of that as well. The bones of Yosef symbolize literally the Zionistic dream, the destiny of Am Yisrael, our national trajectory. Yosef is the one to tell us before we even are going to open up Sefer Shemot. Yosef says we have a couple of hundred years ahead of us that do not detach us from the history of our past. Who would want the banner? Who wants to carry around Yosef's bones that in my head I always picture? It's probably covered with an Israeli flag. Who wants to carry those bones? Oh, those are the ones with the national identity. But wait a second, technical problem. Right now they're Tamei Lamet, and that's exactly their FOMO. How could it be? We're the ones who walk around, you know, we're the ones who go into Auschwitz with the Dagel Yisrael tied around our necks. And now you're telling us that we can't go from Auschwitz to celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut by the Kotel? Moshe, you have to do something. Hashem says they're right. You can't miss out on national identity. Rabbi Akiva explains, who else would be so insistent on ensuring their participation on national identity? He says, Mishael ve'el tzafan hayu, shayu oskina v'nada v'avihu. He says they were Leviim. And they were Leviim whom we know of. They were Moshe and Aaron's cousins, the ones who were put in charge of removing the corpses of Nadav and Avihu on this day. And therefore, it's important to revisit this time. That Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, yes, tell Am Yisrael about Karban Pesach. Everyone is excited. They're going to make sure that they're going to try to remain pure as much as they can. But what happens? Vayihi b'yom hashmini, source number 9. Kara Moshe l'Aron l'Levanav l'Zeknei Yisrael. And Moshe and Aaron go to Ol Moed. Vayivarachu et ha'am, vayirakvot Hashem. The 7 days of the Miluim climax. On that 8th day, that fateful day, the day that should have been the symbol of kapara for Aaron and his children and all of Am Yisrael, and at the same time that God manifests himself in the theophany through the manifestation of fire, Nadav and Abihu are going to bring their fire before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First, v'teteish milifnei Hashem, v'tochal al ha-mizbech et ha'ula bet ha-chalavim, v'yar kol ha'am v'yaronu v'yiplu al pneihem. Everyone is ecstatic. And then, in a symbiotic fashion, Nadav and Abihu bring their own fire to Hashem. Vayasimu alah haketoret, vayakrivu lifnei Hashem, eish zara asher lo tziva utam. They brought their own fire, and that fire is going to consume them. Vayamutu lifnei Hashem. Vayomer Moshe al Aharon, hu asher diber Hashem leimor bikrovai akadesh val pnei kol ha'am mekaved. And Moshe Rabbeinu tries to console Aharon on that day, right in the middle of the festivities of Rosh Chodesh Nisan and the festivities of Pesach. I know, Aaron, this is horrible. I know. You have to go through a Yom HaShoah. You have to go through a Yom HaZikaron. But just remember, B'krovai HaKadosh, that Hashem chooses the ones who are closest to him. But there's no real explanation. Vayidom Aaron. And Moshe calls Mishael and El Tzafan, B'nei Uziel, Dod Aaron, his cousins, and says, you're going to be the ones who have to go inside the Kodesh and remove the corpses, michutz lamachaneh. And in fact, they do. And they know when they do that this is going to defile them. And let's take a look. Ibn Ezra says, wait a second. That was Yom HaShmini. That was Chet Nisan, because the Mishkan was inaugurated on Aleph Nisan. And he knows that Rashi says it was inaugurated already a week earlier, but he says no, and the Ramban corroborates this as well. And the Ramban says, wait a second, that means that now we're in the middle of not only the Nisim bringing their Karbanot, but can we follow along with Mishael and El Tzafan and understand the frustration a little bit? It's Chet Nisan. That means that how long are they going to be Tamei for? 7 days. Let's count together with them. Chet Nisan, Tet, Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet. They're going to miss bringing the Karban Pesach by a few hours. How frustrating must that be? Lama Nigara. Moshe Rabbeinu, really? We're the ones who just went through Yom HaShoah and Yom HaZikaron. We can't celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut. Really? And perhaps even more so. They were the ones who were just selected. The previous chapter said the Leviim, Mishael and Tzafan, were selected to be Mitoch B'nai Yisrael, Mitoch B'nai Yisrael. You're the representatives of Am Yisrael. And when is that going to be most broadcasted? At the time of Karban Pesach, the Leviim are going to be the ones to meet. They're going to take everyone's Karban Pesach. They're going to help the Kohanim with slaughtering, with sprinkling the blood. And basically their first opportunity to show that they're Mitoch B'nai Yisrael, that they're part of their national identity, they can come. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, really? How can we miss out on this national identity? How can we miss out on being the representatives? We're the ambassadors for Am Yisrael. We can't bring this carbon. Hashem says you can. And the last opinion mentioned in Gemara Sukkah, the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. He says, no, doesn't make sense that it should be the ones who carry the Aron of Yosef, because if it was really so important, that means that they have plenty of time between Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Yudalid to appoint someone else and become Tahor. And it can't be Mishael and El Tzafan, because Rabbi Yitzchak espouses the opinion that Rashi quotes, that it must be that it happened really on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so they have time to become Tahor. So who could it be? Who would experience similar aggravated FOMO? The answer is Oskin B'mes Mitzvah. The ones who are dealing with anyone who died, generally a family member. They're people who could not anticipate. They're people who couldn't plan for this. And someone, maybe Erev Pesach, perhaps. A father, a mother, a sibling, perhaps someone died. And they have a responsibility to bury that person. And they appear before Moshe Rabbeinu and say, Lama nigara? We took responsibility, the greatest responsibility, to take care of a meis mitzvah, of someone who died, who didn't have anyone else to bury them. Isn't there any greater expression of national responsibility than that? We can't participate in national celebration. We were the chayalim who stood at the grave of every single member who fell on Har Herzl. And you're telling us that we can't come and celebrate Yom HaTzma'ut? Moshe says you can. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wow, look at this. They understand the message of national identity. They appreciate real FOMO. That's real FOMO. Not there's a chagig over here, there's a chagig over there. They understand what truly identifies us as part of Am Yisrael. If only we would see this throughout the stories of the Midbar. If we look later on in the Midbar, not too soon thereafter, Bamidbar Perek Yud Aleph, we hear that Am Yisrael awaits the man every morning, and they're a little tired. Batanav shenu yibesha in kol bilti el haman einenu. Ah, why do we have to have same old, same old? Or, as Rashi tells us, Aaron, who was given the special mitzvah, Bahalotcha et Haneirot, as opposed to the Nesiim, who are able to bring these remarkable karbanot representing Am Yisrael, and Aaron doesn't, but Hashem says, you're going to have a daily responsibility. You get to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, every single day. And Rashi says, Vayas kein Aaron lagit shivcho, Shall Aaron shelo shina. Aaron never got tired. It was the same old, the consistency. It wasn't just about, wow, national identity one time, day in and day out. These are people who understand, though, that you can't miss out on Karban Pesach. You can't miss out on identifying yourself with Am Yisrael, especially if you're the ones who have already ingrained within yourselves what it means to be part of the Jewish people. So Hashem says, okay, but wait a second. If it's really because they're Tamei Lamet, what should Hashem say? When should you be able to celebrate the Karban Pesach? As soon as you're Tahor. So first opportunity you have, you're so excited to participate in this national ceremony, right after you're Tahor. No, says Hashem. When are you going to participate? a month later? Do we ever have this in any area of halacha? A month later? What happened to Zriza Makdimim Lemitzvot? What happened to Ha'osik B'mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah? And that means that the mitzvah is still in abeyance. It's really just a nidche. So that first opportunity that we have to fulfill it, we should be fulfilling it. Where did this idea come? A month later. Okay, we'll just leap it for you. No. Pesach Sheni? Why a month later? In order to understand this, we have to go back and appreciate what happens not just a month earlier, but a year earlier. A year earlier, Hashem came to Moshe and Aaron in Eretz Mitzrayim and told them, "On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, HaChodesh Azalechem, Rosh Chodeshim Rishon, Hu L'Chodshei HaShana. This day is going to transform time for you. You are now going to follow the lunar calendar, Dabru El Kol Adat Yisrael, and this is for every member of Am Yisrael. Here are the laws of Karban Pesach. Im Yemat HaBayit Miyot Miseh, number one, every family has to pre-calculate how many karbanot, how many lambs, how many goats they're going to bring. I always imagine it probably depends on how many teenage boys are at home. Right? Because if there are three teenage boys at home, how many lamb chops do you think you need? At least 12. Right? That's already three karbanot Pesach over there. But wait a second, you also have two girls at home. So what do you want to add? Okay, we'll add one lamb for them. And there's a mother and a father, so now what are we up to? Okay, 5.5. How's that? 5.5 sheep for that very nice family. Wait, 5.5, but you're not allowed to leave anything over. So now what are you going to do? You'll invite your next door neighbors. Excellent. And that brings it to 8.5. Okay, invite the cousins. Okay, now we have 10. Perfect. Halacha number one. You have to pre-calculate, before you even slaughter the seh, pre-calculate how much every single family member is going to receive. How many grams of lamb would you like? How many grams of lamb would you like? Don't pay attention to the price on the menu. Just order it. Hashem says you're going to have plenty. And this way, everyone knows, kimachsat nefashot ish lefi achlo tachosu al haseh, so that everyone will have enough to eat. And this way you'll finish all the seh. Barbasar yom lachodesh hazeh v'shachatu oto kol kahal adat Yisrael bein harbayim. Halacha number two, from what time period are you allowed to start eating it? You take it, you slaughter it on the 14th, but you can only start eating it by Erev. The meat comes and at evening time. Ben harbayim. Halacha number two. Halacha number three, you're going to eat it belo totiru mimenu ad boker. What are you not allowed to do? No leftovers for the next morning. And halacha number five, pasuk chafbet, ulakachta magudat ezov, matem lo teitzu ish mi petach beito ad boker. And you have to eat it as an indoor barbecue, and you're not allowed to leave your house. Remember the house with the blood-covered threshold? Can't leave, because otherwise, very, very dangerous. Then you're amidst the Egyptian culture. Stay within your bayit. Your bayit. That's the Mila Mancha. These four halachot that come within the context of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the creation of a calendar. And then we know Am Yisrael leave. Let's follow Am Yisrael from that year. They left Mitzrayim, and about 7 days later, what happened? Kriyat Yamsuf. Ashira la Hashem kika oga'a. Then, 3 days after that, no water, bitter waters, they complain, Mara. Hashem says, great, now you're going to learn. Sham sam lochoku mushpat bisham nisahu. Now you're going to learn if you want your water, you have to keep mitzvot. Okay, now they keep going. And we're not really sure exactly how much time has transpired until Shmo Perek Tetzayin, Vayisu Me'ilim, they had gone to a place where they found beautiful springs of water and palm trees, and they filled themselves up with silan, and apparently they still have some matzah crackers, so delicious. But now, Ve'avo Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael El Midbar Sin Asher Ben Elim Uben Sinai, B'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hashini l'tzeitam mi'eretz Mitzrayim. What's the date? It's exactly a month since they left Mitzrayim. Why is this significant? Because throughout all the stories, since Perek Yud Bet, we haven't found a single date. This is mamash, the 1 month anniversary since Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's the 15th of Iyar. It's the 15th of the second month. This is so exciting. By the way, this wasn't Friday. This was yesterday. We celebrated Chamishasar Yom LaChodesh HaShini L'Teitam Mi'Eretz Mitzrayim. And what happened on this 15th? Vayilonu Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael Al Moshe V'Al Aharon B'Midbar. Now just to remind you, by Yam Suf, who do they scream to? Moshe. By Mara, who do they scream to? Moshe. Right? They know exactly who to go to. This is the first time that who did they decide to complain to? Moshe and Aaron. And we're wondering, why are you putting Aaron in the picture? Poor Aaron here. Vayomru alehem b'nei Yisrael, mi yitein mutenu b'yad Hashem. Wait a second. It's exactly a month later, and we're going to die. Be'eretz Mitzrayim. We remember that. We were okay in Mitzrayim. B'shivtenu al sir habasar. Be'achleinu lechem masova. Ki yotzeitem otanu al hamidbar hazeh lamitet kol hakal hazeh bara'av. Moshe and Aaron, wait a second, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim, where everything was great, wonderful, we have plenty of meat and plenty of bread, and now you took us to what seems to be a God-forsaken desert, where literally we're forsaken from God because we have no food to eat. It seems that until this date, what were they still eating? Matzah, matzah, matzah. And what happened? No more matzah. It's a month later. We're going to die. And now they remember, wow, we really should have stayed in Mitzrayim, where we had plenty of food. What's really bothering Am Yisrael? Can we just pause for a minute? Do you really think that they had Sir HaBasar Ba'achleinu Lechem LaSova? Are they remembering their years of servitude and oppression when somehow they had pots of meat and plenty of bread to eat? Cannot be. Not only that, we know that Basar was Toeva in Mitzrayim, that they worshipped some of the animals, and therefore they were vegetarian, right? Why? Yes, we remember the Sir HaBasar. Let's try to remember Am Yisrael right now. It's a month since Yetziat Mitzrayim. They've been eating matzah for the past 30 days. Okay, they had the little silan topping that they could put on top. And now they have nothing to eat and they're starving. And when you're starving, I don't know if you all had your Sunday evening barbecue already, but just in case you are a little hungry, when you're really hungry, what do you think of?
You dream.
You dream of what? What you don't have. And anyone hungry here who wants to share with us what they're thinking of eating right now? Somehow I think that you're not thinking of eating Fiber One cereal. Again, not that I have anything against Fiber One cereal, but what are you thinking of? What would you really like? When you're really hungry, what do you think of?
Carvel.
Think of Carvel. Me too. Excellent. You think of Carvel. You think of?
Steak.
Why?
It's great.
It's a great filling meal. That's right. Yeah, no, when you're really hungry, you think of especially the last great meal that you had. You think of your last, no pun intended, actually yes pun intended, you think of your last supper. It's a month later. What do Am Yisrael remember? They remember that last supper. They remember their mother's Friday night chicken soup. They remember the Sir HaBasar. They remember what was their last supper? Karban Pesach. How much meat did they have? Plenty. How much lechem did they have? Amatzot Merorim Yochluhu. Plenty. Wait a second. Not only that, there was something very special about that Karban Pesach. Not only was it a delicious meal with the herbs, they had everything. The lettuce and the onions and the great hamburger right there with lamb chops. It was lamb chops. Again, you don't get better than that. And there was something even greater, though. It wasn't just delicious food. It was food that saved them. It was food through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them through a plague, through a pandemic. And now they're in the Midbar and they're thinking, somehow God provided us with the miraculous food of salvation a month ago, and now he took us to this Midbar where he can't provide us any food of salvation. You see, God's powers, they expired. He can't give us a Sir HaBasar anymore. We're going to die here in the Midbar. We should have gone back to Mitzrayim. Hashem says, excellent. Now they're going to see that my powers are not limited to Mitzrayim. Now they're going to see that day in and day out, every single food that they eat is really miraculous food of salvation. Something that otherwise we would have, and unfortunately we do take for granted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, I'm going to provide you miraculous food again. It's so miraculous that in addition to getting your water from the ground, you're going to get your food from heaven. Because, yes, meatballs are going to start just falling from heaven. Hashem says, the wind is going to bring in basar. It will bring in slav, bein ha'arbayim, just as the Karban Pesach. And you will get your lechem lasova. You'll get your lechem min shamayim. And let's turn the page and see exactly how this is going to take place. Hashem says, bein ha'arbayim tochlu basar. I am going to give you basar exactly the way that I did in Mitzrayim, bein ha'arbayim. And this is what you're going to do to remember that Karban Pesach did not expire in Mitzrayim. You're going to relive Karban Pesach right now. This is what you have to do. These are the halachot. Bein ha'arbayim, number one. Number two, Zadavar Shertiva Hashem, Pasuk Tetzayin Asher Laktumimenu Ish Lofiachlo Omer La Gilgolet. What do you have to do? Create an Omer measuring cup. And everyone has to pre-calculate their Omer amount because that's how much everyone is going to collect per day. One Omer. Mispar Nafshotechem Ish Lasher Ba'o'alo Tikachu. When was the last time that we had to pre-calculate an amount to eat? Karban Pesach. Halacha number three. Ish al yoter mimenu ad boker. What can't you do with the man? Leave it over to the next morning. Halacha number four. And now you're going to start counting. You ready? Hashem says, today is going to be day one. Basically, lemacharat, Hashem says, I'm going to bring man. And therefore, what is the first day? Sunday. Rabbi Menachem Liebtel likes to say, actually, it was Monday. It actually was Sunday. It was Yom Rishon. I like to say it was really Sunday. Rabbi Yehuda learns that because of the sun, right? That's how we know, based on the hours of the month, what the fourth hour of the day is. Wait a second. Hashem says, now you're going to learn how to count days of the week. The first day of the man will be called Yom Rishon, Laman. The second day will be called Yom Sheni, Shlishi, Rivi'i Chamishi. What will happen on Yom Shishi? You're going to collect twice because from now on, you're not counting Mondays, you're counting Shabbat. On Shabbat, Al Yetzei Ish Mimkomo Vayom Hashvi'i. You're not allowed to leave your house. The laws of Eruv, the laws of Hotza'ah, law number four, just like Karban Pesach, don't leave your house. Wait a second. This is the first Shabbat that Am Yisrael keep as a nation. Albeit we know, Vayachulu Hashemayim Haaretz V'chol Tzva'am, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified the day of Shabbat. I don't think Adam HaRishon knew what that meant, which means that how did people live their lives until this moment in history? Every day was Groundhog Day. Every day was exactly the same as the previous day. One day, another day, sunrose, sunset, sunrose, sunset. Hashem says, just like I gave you Karban Pesach within the creation of the lunar calendar, I recreated a setting of time for you, so too, now you not only have Kedushas HaChodesh, Kiddush HaChodesh, now you have Kedushat Shabbat. Through man, like Karban Pesach, a new unit of time is created, and it's called a week. It's called a week of Shabbat, Shabbat Hayom LaHashem. Today, literally today, is a remarkable day. What is today? Yom Rishon, going into Yom Sheni. What is today? Today is the anniversary of the first day of the month. That means that this coming Shabbat, I know you're all excited for Shabbat. Of course you should be excited for Shabbat. Parshiyot Bahar, V'chukotai, the mitzvot of Eretz Yisrael, of Shemitah, of Yovel, Chazak, Chazak, V'nit, Chazek, what should you be most excited about? And the rabbi's going to get up and announce in shul, hopefully, after this year, that, what is the Shabbat? The Shabbat is the anniversary of the first Shabbat of Am Yisrael. The first Shabbat of the world is this Shabbat. Wow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now you have a new time. And it starts with the man. So now we appreciate Am Yisrael, the nationalists come and they say, how can we not celebrate Karban Pesach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right. That's good FOMO. You have to celebrate Karban Pesach. Little technical problem. Karban Pesach has to be celebrated when? Yud Daled Nisan, with particular halachot. Ah, but what's the anniversary of Karban Pesach? A month later. The man. That, Hashem says, exactly a month later, Erev receiving the man, you're going to remember Karban Pesach. Because the man really was Karban Pesach take two. Was Am Yisrael's complaint, why don't we have the Sir HaBasar? Why don't we have Karban Pesach? And Hashem says, but you do. I'm going to provide you with the lechem and the basar of Karban Pesach, with the exact same halachot, and within the creation of a new concept of time. And therefore, the greatest anniversary for Karban Pesach is the date of the month. It's going to be Yedalid Iyar, right before the date of the man falling for Am Yisrael. Wow. That means that, of course, we should eat matzah, remembering that the food of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the man, was just like Karban Pesach, was food of salvation. But perhaps that's why it really is significant. On Pesach Sheni, eat chametz. And remember that your chametz, remember that your bagel is just as miraculous as the matzah, and just as miraculous as the Karban Pesach, and just as miraculous as the man. And when you come into Eretz Yisrael, realize that even though you thought it was so strange that water was coming from the ground and food was coming from heaven, it's no less miraculous when water comes from heaven and food comes from the ground. Celebrate your Pesach Sheni, recognizing that Hashem's gift of saving us through food never expires. Lama Yigara, Hashem says, don't miss out on this. Don't miss out on this aspect of national identity. But what's remarkable is that fast forward 39 years, and we're at the eve of imminent entrance to the lands of Israel, and B'not Slavchad, together with the rest of Am Yisrael, they know the halachot. They know the halachot of Yerusha, of Nachala, of patriarchal descent. And as Chazal tell us, B'not Slavchad were waiting for the right moment. They were waiting for the correct argument. They were waiting to approach Moshe and Elazar. And just like now we understand why Am Yisrael came, not just to Moshe to complain for food, but Moshe and Aaron, because who were the ones who commanded Karban Pesach to them? L'chol adat Yisrael, Moshe and Aaron. Aren't you the food people? Aren't you the ones who told us about Karban Pesach? So where is Karban Pesach today? Don't worry. Moshe and Aaron, tell them about Karban Pesach take two, called man. B'not Slavchad said, wait a second. It's not just about national identity. They decide that they're going to approach Moshe and Elazar, and they explain, we had a father, Tzlovchad, Avinu met b'amidbar, v'hu lo haya b'toch ha'idan, o'adim al Hashem v'adat korah, ki b'chato met, u'banim lo hayu lo. Lama yigara, shem Avinu mitoch mishpachto. They say, wait a second, Moshe, we also have FOMO. The exact same word. Lama yigara, but actually, we're fighting not for our FOMO. Wow, look at this. We're fighting for our father's FOMO. We don't want our father to miss out. Our deceased father, what do we not want him to miss out on? A nachama? Is that really, he should have a piece of land? No, a name in the land. A name betoch mishpachto. Here's FOMO number two. I say it's not just about national identity. It's also about Eretz Yisrael identity. It's not just about being part of a people, it's being part of a land, a people who live in a land. Moshe Rabbeinu, isn't that a justified FOMO? They remember the argument of the Tmei Bamet, and they say, this is also a good FOMO, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they're right. Kain benot slovcha dovrot. Give them nachala. Yes, we're going to make sure that no one misses out. Not just on national identity, not just on Karban Pesach, not just on Yom HaTzma'ut, but they also don't miss out on actually going to Eretz Yisrael and having a nachala in Eretz Yisrael. But they don't miss out on the laws of Eretz Yisrael. And perhaps what's so remarkable is that this FOMO terminology only appears three times in all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. In the context of national identity of Pesach, in the context of Eretz Yisrael identity, in the context of Benot Slavchad, and one more time, in Moshe Rabbeinu's mitzvah speech, as we know, just 40 days before Am Yisrael are going to enter the land of Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, these are your mitzvot. And I hope that you understand, lo tosifu, that you should not add to these mitzvot. These are the divine commandments. And then, if he was really consistent with his terminology, he should say you shouldn't add to the mitzvot, nor subtract. What's the word in Tanakh for subtracting? Lo techsar. Right? He should have said, velo techsaru. What word does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Velo tigru'u mimenu. We already know. What does tigru'u mean? Don't miss out on them. Yes. That's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu means. Don't miss out on them. Don't ever miss out on fulfilling a mitzvah. Mitzvah habaliyatcha can turn into chametz, just like the Pesach Sheni people. Lo tigru'u mimenu. Missing out. Mitzvah habaliyatcha al tachmitzena. Don't miss out on mitzvot. Because this is integral to your identity as well. What the Torah tells us is really the guideline for our postmodern times. Everything seems just as equal to everything else. Every activity, every event, every lesson, every idea that's out there, everything is true. The Torah says no. There are three principles upon which Am Yisrael is founded. And these principles, Rav Neria says, based on the teachings of Rav Kook, are the following ones. They are Am Yisrael, they are Eretz Yisrael, and they are Torah Yisrael. And here we see it. This is real FOMO. This is the answer to our children's FOMO in a POMO world. When we ourselves are unsure, what should our priorities be? What should our school activities be? What should our home consciousness be? What are we going to place as the most important messages? Because there are so many out there. What do we want to instill in our children more than any other values? You must be part of Am Yisrael. There is no missing out on being part of Am Yisrael. And if you have an opportunity to be part, even if it's a month later in a similar way, then that's what you're going to do. Do not ignore the rest of Am Yisrael. Every opportunity that you have to celebrate together with Am Yisrael, go. And Eretz Yisrael could be living in beautiful Teaneck, Bergenfield. You have an opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael. Don't miss out. You have an opportunity to send your children to learn and to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Don't miss out. Now there's YU in Eretz Yisrael, so no excuses. And no missing out. And lastly, and perhaps as Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't forget. Lo tigru'u mimenu. Don't miss out on a single mitzvah. Just a few days ago, I asked my son, Hannah, can you take out the garbage? And he said, I will. He said, I know you will, but I would like you to take out the garbage now. Ima, do I really have to? The answer is no, because I could take out the garbage. And what did I do? Here's passive resistance for you. And I picked it up indeed and started going out of the house. And as I did, what did I tell my son? You just really missed out. What do you think he did? He ran after me. And this is chinuch for you. I'm really a very, very kind mother, right? And he ran after me. I'm going up the stairs to take it to the garbage. And he said, Ima, no, I'm so sorry. Please, please. I said, no, you missed out on this one. But after this one, what will you realize? You will never, I guarantee that, you will never miss out on doing another mitzvah. Chinuch for our children, definitely, starts at home in our communities. The Torah tells us exactly how to not just temper a postmodern time and confusion and ambiguity, but tells us exactly what to choose and what to prioritize. Prioritize these messages. Real FOMO, we want to tell our children, sometimes even to give them that sense of what it is like to miss out so that they'll know never to do it again. Don't miss out on Am Yisrael. Never miss out on Eretz Yisrael. And certainly take advantage of every single mitzvah, because you do not want to have FOMO from Torah Yisrael. May this Shabbat be the most uplifting Shabbat that leads us be'ezrat Hashem to truly understanding and internalizing what Jewish identity is all about. Shavua Tov.